Reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, Chapter 12, The Cleansing of the Gundicha Temple. And so there's a series of verses here starting from 69. So I'll just read the translations until we get to 72, 73. So this is 69. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acts in the society of his pure devotees, performing his pastimes and spreading the Sankirtan movement. Some of the prominent devotees like Advaita Acharya used to invite Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to take his meals at their homes. The Lord accepted such invitations accompanied by his devotees. In this way, the Lord passed some days in great jubilation. Then the Kaa festival of Lord Jagannath approached. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first of all called for Kashi Mishra, then for the superintendent of the temple, and then for Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Then we come to text 73, which hopefully is there now. Tina jana pashe prabhu hasiya kahila. Tina jana pashe prabhu hasiya kahila. Gundicha mandira marjan seva maginila. Gundicha mandira marjan seva maginila. Tina jana pashe prabhu hasiya kahila. Gundicha mandira marjan seva maginila. Tina jana pashe prabhu hasiya kahila. Gundicha mandira marjan seva maginila. Prabhujis. Mataji's? Gundicha mandira marjan seva maginila.
Tina jana pashe prabhu hasiya kahila.
Tina jana pashe prabhu hasiya kahila.
Gundicha mandira marjan seva maginila.
Gundicha marjan seva maginila.
Tina jana pashe, in the presence of the three persons, Prabhu, the Lord. Hasiya, smiling. Kahila, said. Gundicha mandira marjan, of washing the temple known as Gundicha. Seva, service. Magi nila, obtained by begging. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. When these three people came before the Lord, He begged them to wash the temple known as Gundicha. Purport: this Gundicha temple is situated 2 miles northeast of the Jagannath temple. At the time of the Rathyatra festival, Lord Jagannath goes to the Gundicha temple from his original temple and stays there for 1 week. After 1 week, he returns to his original temple. It is understood by hearsay that the wife of Indrajumna, the king who established the Jagannath temple, was known as Gundicha. There is also mention of the name of the Gundicha temple in authoritative scripture. The area of the Gundicha temple is estimated to be 288 cubits by 215 cubits. The main temple inside is about 36 cubits by 30 cubits, and the meeting hall is 32 cubits by 30 cubits. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Gyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Nena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Namo Vishnu Vinaya Krishna. So this is a very special pastime, the cleansing of the Gundicha temple. And this verse is really the prelude to that whole adventure, that pastime taking off. It's interesting in the purport that some dimensions and measurements are given of the temple. I'm not sure what we can do with those measurements, what inferences or conclusions we can draw. But at least we get an idea that the Gundicha temple is a substantial place. There is a temple inside, and there's also a meeting hall. And maybe this is a kind of guideline for the temple structure to be found in Vrindavan. Now, Gundicha is the manifestation of Vrindavan in Lord Jagannath's Leela. Because the whole activity of the Rathyatra festival centers around the devotees from Vrindavan pulling the Lord from where? From Kurukshetra, a place of opulence, chivalry, warriors, large chariots, pulling Krishna from that atmosphere, which is not pleasing or not relished by the true residents of Vrindavan, like Srimati Radharani and the gopis. And so they pull Krishna to a place which is different. They pull Krishna to a place which is more natural. It is governed by natural scenery, forests, rivers, and then simplicity. That is the mood of Vrindavan. While there is unlimited opulence to be found in Vrindavan, the way it manifests is not in the way it manifests in, say, Mathura or in Dwarka or in Kurukshetra even. It manifests in a way that is infused with sweetness. And that allows all the different residents of Vrindavan to engage in rasa interactions with Krishna in a very, very sweet and personal way. So as described here, these two temples are there, the main Jagannath temple, and then about 2 kilometers away, I think Prabhupada says. Yeah, about 2 kilometers, right? 2 miles, okay. At the end, there is the Gundicha temple. And so the Rathyatra goes from one place to the other, and then the cart stays there for 1 week, it is said, and then the Ulta Yatra takes place, where the Lord returns. So that itself is a great festival. Now it's interesting that in the few verses prior to this, that several persons are mentioned in connection with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this, of course, is following on from the previous Leela that has just kind of completed in the last few verses, where the son of King Prataparudra has received the mercy of the Lord. Now, as we consider the Lord's pastimes in Jagannath Puri, there are several individuals who are very, very important and essential to that Leela. Some of them, surprisingly so. We have Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was if you say it, a hardcore Mayavadi. He was a Shankara follower, Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki. He was a follower of the Shankara philosophy of impersonalism, monism. And yes, even though different technicalities may be used to describe him, such as he was a Brahmavadi, not a Mayavadi, still Prabhupada uses the term Mayavadi to describe him. Because for devotees, Brahmavadi, Mayavadi, these are all technicalities. The point is that one is not focused on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, His form and His worship as a priority. You may as well call yourself a Mayavadi, whatever you can technically be called. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was of this nature. But right from his initial helping Mahaprabhu when he fainted in the Jagannath Mandir, that entire relationship built. And by the end of it, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became so convinced by the straightforward, potent presentation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he became one of the foremost exalted devotees of Lord Chaitanya. That is the power of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He could do something that all the devotees had tried to do. Gopinath Acharya, so many others who had labored, endeavored, tried very, very hard to try to sway Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to the correct devotional understanding. And they didn't have much success. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was also a very senior person. He was, in fact, so senior that he offered to reinitiate Lord Chaitanya into a more fitting sampradaya than the one he had taken shelter of, because he felt it was not as exalted as befits the Lord or befits such a great person. So he even offered to do that. And he was, of course, a great expert in Shastra, Sanskrit expert, a great scholar. Yet a complete transformation takes place, and we saw this in multiple episodes. Once, when the Lord appears in the morning and he's lying in bed, and he comes with some Mahaprasadam from the Jagannath temple, and he offers it to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who immediately jumps up and honors it immediately. He doesn't do any of the formalities, doesn't get up, bathe, offer obeisances, any of that. Gets up, immediately accepts it. And Mahaprabhu says, "What's going on, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya? I mean, this is not the correct etiquette. One should be clean before one offers Mahaprasadam." Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "This is so important that the injunction is that as soon as one receives a Mahaprasadam from a distant place or from wherever, one should accept it immediately, disregarding all other considerations." And Mahaprabhu was very pleased to see this, the transformation in the heart of this person. And then, of course, those interactions deepened, their philosophical interactions deepened. And on one occasion, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya came before the Lord and he started reciting a verse, which you may know from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Lord Brahma's verse: Tatenu kampasu samikshamana bunjana evatma kritam vipakam ridvag vapur bhir vidadham namaste jivetayo mukti pade sadaya bhak. Except Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya changed one of the words. He changed it from jivetayo mukti pade sadaya bhak to jivetayo bhakti pade sadaya bhak. Now, you don't normally go around changing words in verses, right? That's our standard reference material. So Lord Chaitanya, of course, questioned him on this point. How are you changing a verse? I mean, it's clearly written in the Srimad Bhagavatam that this is mukti. So how have you changed it to bhakti? And this is a person who was previously very much attached to the concept of mukti, liberation. And so he said, this word no longer brings me any satisfaction because it is too vague. This word mukti offers so many different options of explanation. But we know that mukti, that type of liberation, is not at all desired by the devotees. And liberation, of course, is a general term, and many people are focused on mukti, right? And different types of liberation can take place also. Salokya sarshti samipya sarupya ikatvam apiyuta diyamanam nagrinanti vinamat sevanam jana. All these different five principal types to be liberated and have a form similar to the Lord. That's a kind of a less of an impersonal liberation. But then there's ekatvam as well. All of these are listed there. Salokya sarshti, to have similar opulence as the Lord. Samipya, sarupya. These are not desired by the devotees. Even the concept that I will be like the Lord in Vrindavan and I will be there enjoying with Him, even that concept is alien to the devotees, because their mood and their focus is not that I will be enjoying myself with the Lord. Their mood and focus is that I will be in whatever situation or state that allows me to give maximum enjoyment to the Lord. I'm not interested in having a relationship of equality or friendship with the Lord. Now, of course, Krishna doesn't always allow that to take place, because Krishna sometimes changes that completely. In fact, it's necessary for his leelas to take place. Srimati Radharani, the gopis, they're given access in a different way to that dasya ras that I've just described. But at the heart of developing any type of relationship or connection with the Lord is very much the concept that we are the servants of the Lord. And that is where all our endeavors, all our sadhana, all our spiritual practice operates largely, with the understanding that we are servants, and we are more accurately learning to be proper servants of the Lord. So we see Hanuman here. Hanumanji is one of the greatest servants of the Lord. He knows nothing but the service of Lord Ram. And in that sense, he's a great great guide for us. If someone offered him, you can be with Ram and you can have fun with him, you say, no, thank you, I'm his servant eternally. And that's my place. So even in that posture, you see Hanuman like this, offering prayers at the lotus feet of Lord Ram. So the devotees have this mood of surrender and service. So when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya changed this word to bhakti, he then started giving this explanation. And he said, bhakti is what is desired by the devotees. And in this concept of bhakti, there is a sense of action. There is a sense of active service. And that is missing in the concept of mukti. So we can understand that mukti, if you remember your set theory, mukti is like a superset. And within that you have a subset bhakti, right? That a portion of those who can be considered muktas, liberated persons, are actually bhaktas. Because bhakti directly qualifies you for mukti. In fact, it comes as a side principle, right? When one engages in pure devotional service, two things follow that devotee automatically. Mukti just turns up. Mukti is just awarded, and opulence also comes. Now, if the devotee is not strong enough, he may be distracted by those things. Mukti can seem very, very tasty. It isn't actually. Mukti cannot give joy. That impersonal liberation can never give one full satisfaction and joy. But it can give you the allurement or the promise that there is freedom from suffering and a sense of pleasantness that is to be found in the impersonal Brahman. So sometimes people like that. In material world, we know that relationships are nice. The more intense they are, the more relishable they are. But then when they go wrong, they become equally unpleasant to the extent of that intensity. And then after some time, if people have too many bad experiences, they actually like the concept of mukti. The concept that there doesn't have to be another person involved. God as an energy, I like that concept. Or the idea that I will simply be free from any interactions in this world with anyone. It becomes attractive, but sadly it's not reality, or it's not the full reality. Because simultaneously you cannot escape the fact that by nature, the greatest satisfaction we get is when we have relationships with people. That is the ultimate exchange. And therefore Krishna is the master of unlimited energies. But those energies don't give him any satisfaction. But when he interacts with Srimati Radharani, with the gopis, with his cowherd friends, there is a rasa, there is an exchange, there is some satisfaction there. And therefore, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya did not want to compromise what is possible. Of course, that verse speaks about the point that if one simply, patiently suffers the reactions to their past misdeeds, then they become entitled for liberation, or as Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya would like, devotion, devotional service to the Lord. It has become their rightful claim. That's how the verse explains it. So there is a process and a system of progress that an individual needs to make in order to come to that stage. And it does involve this point, that one has to patiently tolerate the result of one's past misdeeds. That is necessary. We may sometimes expect that when we come to devotional service, all our problems will immediately be removed. That again, if you remember what we've said, is part of a concept of enjoying with Krishna. The devotee's focus is to give enjoyment for Krishna, and therefore the devotee is not particularly bothered about his or her current situation. Yes, they understand very clearly that due to my karma, due to my past actions, I am getting a situation now within which I have to suffer. And if someone does that, patiently suffering, and taking as guiding lights, person like Haridas Thakur, the six Goswamis, persons who in the course of their devotional activity, even Prahlad Maharaj, underwent so much suffering and tolerated it with poise, tolerated it. That is something that I find very admirable amongst within those persons, that they were able to tolerate patiently all the misdemeanors inflicted on them by others without getting agitated. That's quite tricky. So to do that requires some advancement and some special mercy from the Lord. It actually requires a deep faith and connection with the Lord. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is that special person who underwent such a transformation that he would always be considered by Lord Chaitanya as one of his confidential associates while he was there in Puri. It was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya who on this earlier occasion had encouraged Lord Chaitanya as he started his tour to go and meet Ramananda Roy. Ramananda Roy was working under another personality, the king, King Prataparudra. And Ramananda Roy was the governor of Madras. He was considered a Shudra despite having that role because he was considered to be a servant of the king, an official. So technically he was considered like that. But Lord Chaitanya met him on the banks of the Godavari and had a wonderful exchange. They had an exchange which few people around them could actually understand. It started off with simple pleasantries and they both felt such ecstasy in each other's darshan when they just met, saw from a distance. Then they embraced and they experienced direct transformations of love. Because Ramananda Roy was a very advanced devotee. And after his transformation, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had advised Lord Chaitanya to go and see him. So then Ramananda Roy, many adventures take place. And then Ramananda Roy is given dispensation from his job and allowed by the king to come and stay with Mahaprabhu in Puri. Now King Prataparudra is a very interesting person as well. Because he is a king and he has all the opulence and all the standard activities that the king does. But he's also a great devotee. And upon hearing of Lord Chaitanya, hearing of his glories, he immediately became very, very much attracted to him. However, there was a problem. Because Lord Chaitanya would refuse to meet him. He said, I want nothing to do with this materialistic person, the king. And in very, very strong words, the devotees were constantly trying to somehow arrange a meeting between the two. And King Prataparudra would be trying to serve the Lord in different ways. And so actually his giving dispensation to Ramananda Roy to go and serve the Lord gave him allowance to leave his work and serve the Lord. That is considered one of the services that he did for Lord Chaitanya. So you have King Prataparudra, who is always trying to see the Lord. You have Ramananda Roy, who has been permitted by the king to serve the Lord. Because the king is now calculating like this. He's saying, okay, if I cannot have direct association with the Lord, I will simply assist the mission of the Lord. I will assist those other persons who are fortunate enough to see the Lord. Then Ramananda Roy petitions Lord Chaitanya. And he says, I would really like you to see this king. He's not a materialistic person. He's very, very nice. And Lord Chaitanya responds with the standard things that if on a spotless white garment there is a slight mark, it spoils the whole thing. Similarly, if I am seen as a sannyasi to be associating with this person who is used to luxuries and enjoyment, then my status will be destroyed. My bhakti will be destroyed. And he said, but maybe I can see his son. Because the son is considered to be the expansion of the father, and of course he had heard about his qualities too. So Ramananda Roy went to the king and said, yes, the Lord has, he refuses to see you, but he's agreed to see your son. And so his son was in the prime of youth, it's described. He was a handsome young man. And he was dressed in these yellow garments. And his complexion, his color was darkish. And Ramananda Roy brought him to Lord Chaitanya. We've been reading about that story, right? That's the subject of the past few weeks. And he came to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya was immediately reminded of Krishna. Seeing this boy, attractive, dressed in yellow cloth and with different ornaments and things, he was reminded of Krishna. He embraced him. Immediately, as soon as he embraced this young lad, he felt great feelings of ecstasy. And Lord Chaitanya was so grateful. He said, "Thank you, you are such a perfect person, because by your presence you simply remind all others of Krishna. Please come here and see me every day." And it's described from that point, he became one of the most confidential associates of Lord Chaitanya, one of his senior associates in Puri. So you now have King Prataparudra, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Ramananda Roy, the son of King Prataparudra. And Lord Chaitanya calls them all together, or at least some of them. In this series, he calls for Kashi Mishra. Yes, this is another person. Kashi Mishra, then the superintendent of the temple, and then for Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So Kashi Mishra is also someone special. It is in Kashi Mishra's house that Lord Chaitanya lived, right? Gambira. It's Kashi Mishra's residence. And Lord Chaitanya lived there for the last, how many years of his life? 18 years? 18 years. And on one occasion, the king, again as part of his attempts to win the favor of Lord Chaitanya. Of course, we know as a result of all these attempts, eventually, during the Khat festival, there's a special occasion that within a garden, King Prataparudra does have a chance to meet the Lord. So don't worry, there's a happy ending. But during this process, many interesting adventures take place. And so Kashi Mishra, who was the priest of King Prataparudra, the chief priest of King Prataparudra, he was asked by the king to conduct a festival, the Hera Panchami festival. Now this is almost another little aspect of the Rath Yatra festival, and it is centered around Lakshmi Devi. When Jagannath leaves the temple, his own temple, Ilachal Dham, he leaves that on his Rath Yatra. He promises, "I'll come back." Now, that may be familiar, right? Krishna promises the gopis, "I'll come back very soon." So, of course, he says, "I'll come back soon," and now days are passing. It's been 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days. And Lakshmi Devi gets upset. And she starts manifesting a very special mood there, which then becomes a topic for much discussion and relishment of the different rasas and flavors of Lord Chaitanya's associates, the differences between the gopis, the right-wing gopis, the left-wing gopis, the Lakshmis, who operate on a different kind of principle of the Vaikuntha rasa also. And so she comes with all her attendants, and there's a whole scene where she's trying to find Jagannath, so she instructs her attendants to capture all the servants of Jagannath. And they do that, they capture all the servants of Jagannath, and they bind them and restrain them. And then various persons see this and they're just wondering, what's going on? How can this be allowed to happen? And then different pastimes take place. So this procession of Lakshmi Devi coming with her attendants to chastise the attendants of Jagannath is the Hera Panchami festival. And so King Prataparudra asked Kashi Mishra to organize this festival in a very gorgeous way. There's a description of that. He said, "This festival is tomorrow, and I want Lord Chaitanya to be very satisfied with this festival. Please make all arrangements for him, and arrange it in such a gorgeous way that the Lord will genuinely experience this special bhav." And he does that. The king gives very detailed instructions, collect all the bells and all this and that, and make all the arrangements. And so he has a whole team of attendants there. And when Lord Chaitanya, Ramananda Roy, takes Lord Chaitanya to a place, welcomes him, his companions, while the festival is about to start, and then they observe the festival. And it's a very joyous occasion which gives great satisfaction to Lord Chaitanya. So many discussions take place based on the mood of those of Lakshmi Devi, and how her love for the Lord is not quite the same as the gopis' love for the Lord, but it has common themes. And at times there is a prevalence of anger which manifests, which is not normally the way we see things, but it manifests in certain personalities like Satyabhama also, in Krishna's Leela. And the Lord accepts all these flavors between the lovers and the beloved. Those are all different flavors of interaction. Just within that conjugal rasa, there is such a spectrum of different interactions. And Krishna, being the supreme enjoyer, is actually the only person who can relish all the different rasas from everyone. Most people cannot do that. We are fixed in our mind, our capability, our capacity is very limited. And therefore, even in the field of mundane relationships, a great effort is put in into trying to make sure people are compatible. And even the science for doing that is imperfectly applied, and it frequently doesn't work. Because one person can only deal with a person of one mentality, practically, if it is to last for some time. In contrast to Krishna, who is capable of dealing with everyone and anyone who he chooses to. Why? Because he is actually their natural companion from the beginning. I mean, the word beginning has no meaning when you're dealing with a concept outside of time, but it's the closest way we can understand that concept, that in this world time is going, and prior to the start of this world and its manifestation, there was Krishna, and we were there also with Krishna, as his eternal parts and parcels. And so that interaction between the Lord and any of his living entities is a standard, natural state for the Lord. Yet within this conjugal rasa, there are all those different flavors, which simultaneously give delight, but seem externally very, very difficult and intense. And that is a feature of the conjugal rasa in particular. It is intense. And when Radharani expresses her maan, there's a whole temple which is created for that, the maan mandir, right? Each of these rasas, each of these pastimes, experiences that take place between Krishna, Radharani, or any of their servants, result in a great worship offered to that by the devotees forevermore, because they want to taste some of that rasa. And so just as I mentioned Hanuman, we also pray to all of the devotees, the Goswamis, Krishna, all his sakhas, everyone who is dear to Krishna. Queen Kunti does this in her prayers. She mentions the gopis, she mentions the residents of Vrindavan as being Krishna's dearmost associates. And she's just praying for the day that she can become a dearmost associate of the Lord. So this pastime of the Lord in Puri is very much brings out in different places the mood and lessons for us for Vrindavan consciousness. The Lord through this is explaining, and we observe his dealings with King Prataparudra, and many of us are concerned. You know, we think, how is it that King Prataparudra maintains such great devotion, service and love for the Lord, even though he's constantly neglected? He's constantly disregarded, kept aside. Now, a person doesn't like to be neglected, but the king somehow perseveres, because he understands that this is the Supreme Lord, and the Lord is completely independent, Swarat. He's not obliged to follow anything that I think is correct. And therefore, when Lord Chaitanya also composes the Shikshashtakam, it's explained very clearly in the last verse that, you know, whether you trample upon me, whether you give me joy by being present, or whether you give me pain by being absent, I remain your servant eternally. That is a mood which eventually gives us access to Krishna. We have very little qualification. In fact, you could almost say none. We have no qualification due to our extensive engagement in this world. So the idea that the Lord may not necessarily want us to be participating in his Leela right now should not disappoint us, rather it should give us a feeling of our disqualification and a feeling of the need for purification. If we accept that we are not actually qualified to be associates of the Lord, to serve Him in a deep, intense way, as He permits, then we will accept that we have to undergo a process of purification. And that is the majority effort contributed by the devotee in their lifetime. The majority of our activities during this lifetime are not centered around us trying to relish the pastimes of the Lord and imagine ourselves in them or anything like that. They are centered around us undergoing a process of purification through the process of sadhana bhakti. This is demonstrated by King Prathaparudra. He heard from all the associates who were close to Lord Chaitanya. He was so pleased, he embraced his own son and he started feeling some feelings of ecstasy. He didn't think, this is my son, he's my junior, what can I get from him? He was thinking, this person has been accepted by the Lord. I will effectively worship him, which he does in his heart and his mind. So King Prathaparudra really demonstrates how to earn someone's respect and trust. With the Lord, you cannot bribe him. With the Lord, you cannot manipulate him either. So much of this world involves manipulations from one person to another to get an agenda fulfilled. It simply doesn't work with the Lord. He's not interested. He simply disregards someone who tries that. Only if he gives entrance to his devotees into the higher rasas do they get a chance to play with him in more tricky ways. The relationship between Krishna and Radharani is accompanied by a whole flavor of different unconventional behaviors. That is only something that Krishna permits one to enter of his choosing. So when a person suddenly starts to assume themselves to have access to the Lord and to deal with the Lord very frivolously or very carelessly or very with great familiarity, we know that's a type of sahajiya business. As only the Lord can admit someone into a state of being where he becomes subordinate to them. Otherwise, at all times, he remains very powerful, very independent, and remains the Supreme Lord. So these are all the associates that are part of the scene of Lord Chaitanya. In our progress, by meditating on the associates, we get as much benefit as by meditating on the Lord. That's a secret that the non-devotees don't get. They think, I want to be with Krishna, I want to just be with him. I want to be maybe on the altar, I want to do this, do that. They don't know the secret. The secret is, be with the devotees. Because then Krishna is revealed through them. Why? Because that's the way Krishna wants to be revealed. It doesn't have any ulterior motive to it. That's the way Krishna wants to be revealed through his devotees. So all Srimad Bhagavatam is there, all the personalities are there, Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayora Das, Das Anu Das. These verses are there to constantly remind us how we can approach the Lord. So all of these confidential companions, they deserve our consideration and our worship also. And then they are involved in great leelas for the Lord. So this last verse that we read, 73, is when the Lord makes his petition. And he's about to undergo a pastime now of washing Vrindavan, preparing Vrindavan, because the festival of Jagannath is about to take place some distance ahead. And he wants to get that spick and span. So what does he do? I mean, he's the Lord. He could just go there and start cleaning. But no, he calls these persons. And who are the three? Kashi Mishra, the superintendent of the temple, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And he begs them. He says, I would like to wash this temple. Please let me do so. And of course, they're thinking, why is the Lord begging from us? But the Lord is thinking that these are the authorities of the temple. These are the persons who are the Lord's confidential associates. How can anything I want to do be a success if I don't get their blessings and permission? And so he has these interesting three combinations. The superintendent is there, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Karshi Mishra. And he requests them. And then, of course, I won't go into that. That's the subject for the next classes. But, of course, they say already, you know, that King Prataparudra has already told us that we should facilitate you in whatever way. And if this is a pastime you desire, we will certainly help you. And then that pastime takes place and it's a very joyous pastime. So if we want to do service in the Lord's temple, there's a protocol for it as well. We can't demand service. That's a very strong lesson that comes from Lord Chaitanya's behavior here. We can't demand, I must be allowed to do this. No, one cannot do that. In Vrindavan, in the spiritual world, you cannot demand entrance. If the Lord is, as I mentioned, completely independent, he can choose who is given access to him. The Lord is always calling his servants. Every day so many people come here to the manor. It's a beacon for people practically around the world, at least in the country, for people to come, take darshan of Radha Gokulananda. They're calling him. As someone was saying to me the other day, Radha Gokulananda like large crowds. It's one of their moods. And so even in Delhi, when they were there, prior to installation, the pandal, the crowd was massive. They have called so many devotees there to participate in their pastimes. But don't forget where the invitation is coming from. It is coming from the Lord and possibly passed on through his devotees. So there's so many, as well as all the people who come, there are so many who don't come. Why? Because the Lord hasn't quite called them yet. So entrance into the Lord's place, service in the Lord's abode, we should very clearly understand it's a privilege. It's not a right. It's not a right at all. Bhakti pade sadaya bhak. That only becomes our right if we go through the process of sadhana bhakti, of understanding and patiently tolerating our misdeeds. That's Krishna and that's his abode. And if somehow we get a chance to do some service for the Lord, we should accept it. Accept it with both hands or more if we have. And try for it. Pray that the Lord and his devotees engage us in that service. And that's exactly what Srila Prabhupada did. He invited the Lord here and engaged everyone in the Lord's service. And that then becomes, by extension, our job also. That as devotees, we carry on Prabhupada's desire that every single person, at least that we meet, should have a chance to come to see Krishna. A chance to see Krishna not just in the deity form, which is the immediately obvious way to see him, but see him through engaging in a practice which pleases the Lord and brings us Krishna permanently. That is the following the process of Krishna consciousness, the Harinam Sankirtan movement, chanting the holy names of the Lord. That should be our focus whenever we meet someone, to somehow try to get them to chant the holy names of the Lord and to understand who Krishna is. Then they too may get access to the Lord and his pastimes. So I'll stop there. I'll see if there are any questions, comments. Yes, Prajan Prabhu.
It's from Sri Krishna Namastakam. And it says here, I'll do the English translation of verse 7. O holy name, O beloved, identical form of Krishna in sound, out of your causeless mercy, the devotees to take shelter of your lotus feet through constantly chanting, you are even saved from destruction of the offences against the holy name. You are manifest as the personal form in a concentrated transcendental ecstasy. You are personally the form of transcendental happiness and a daily festival of the residents of Gokul, Vrindavan Dham. You are full of transcendental glory and eternal bliss, though which you have manifest nectarian loving exchanges with your devotees. Therefore, my dear holy name of Krishna, I offer again and again my respectful obeisances at your lotus feet.
Yes. Holy name ki. Jai. Any questions? Okay. Anyone? All right. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.